my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, December the 7th, 2014. And yes, that was Fame by David Bowie. Let me go over some of these lyrics for you in case you didn't understand. Talking about fame makes a man take things over. Fame lets him loose, hard to swallow. Fame puts you there where things are hollow. Look at the wicked ruling class and families. Look at how they raise up Hitlers. They raise up presidents and prime ministers and kings and queens to take over the earth. These wicked practices are hard for us to swallow. These wicked practices put them there and us there where things are hollow. Things are empty. Things are vain. The society is run on vanity. Do anything you want to anyone as long as you get what you want. Scripture tells us that is covetousness. That is idolatry. When you check the definition of idol in the New Testament Greek language, one of the definitions is image. And are we not created in the image and likeness of the Almighty and in the image and likeness of the universe? We are the idol within that definition and construct. We are the idol emanating from the Almighty. But we become false idols when we destroy one another. We become false idols when we seek to hurt and harm one another just so we can get some money, some silver, some gold, etc. So this is an idolatrous society, which is why we must be born again into the womb of Nonet, the waters of Noon, the Sheol, the fiery waters, so that we can transform ourselves by the power of light that transformed those waters. Fame is not your brain, it's just the flame that burns your change to keep you insane. Whoa, that's deep. So the flame being manipulated and used, our brain is not functioning, and the flame of desire and passions within ourselves being used by the wicked ruling class to burn us up. Is it burned change in your pocket, your money, so you don't have any money to keep you insane? So can we say maybe that lack of monies, lack of being able to participate in the economy, poverty, impoverishment keeps us insane? Is that what you're saying, David? Fame, what you like is in the limo. So the limousine, maybe a fine Hollywood star, male or female, riding by, and all of a sudden you desire what's in the limousine. Or maybe it's some of those inducements that they have in limousines, cocaine or something, in that limo, that you want that fame. Hollywood would give you the fame, but then there are inducements that come with it that will tear you down. Fame, what you get is no tomorrow. So our future is destroyed because we have followed the path of fame by the hands of the wicked ruling class and families. Fame, what you need, you have to borrow. And so the reality of borrowing in the system, the reality of debt in the system, that's slavery. The Almighty wants to do away with all debt, all creditor, all debtors. The situation of borrowing is against the law of the Almighty. Well, this is a deep, deep song. And so in order to escape these maladies, it says, fame, nine is mine, is just his line. To bind your time, it drives you to crime. So can we say maybe that the politicians, maybe the government officials, maybe the corporate leadership, maybe the banking institutions, maybe the educational leadership, they have a line, a stream of words that they use in order to maneuver us into criminal behavior. Whether it's thinking that I should destroy my sister and brother because I don't have anything and they have something. Maybe it's the words that are used to engender hatred of indigenous peoples and immigrants, etc. And then we join the system in the destruction of a human, a member of the human family. Or maybe it's the group of words that are used to get us into warfare and bloodshed. So that poor working class men and women of America may go overseas and kill other poor working class men, women, boys, and girls. I heard a report, and I'm not going to get the report exactly correct, but Democracy Now! Talked about how for every one target that is killed by the Obama administration, either 23 or 73, I can't remember which number, either is terrible. For every one target eliminated, killed by the Obama administration in the Middle East, Afghanistan, Iraq, they also killed 23 or 73 civilians. Then they come before you and me on the television, on the radio, on the internet. And they use their line of words. They use their skill of words to cause you and I to think that all of these deaths are for our benefit. No, this is criminal behavior. Now let's get back. Let's get back to Job chapter 42, verse 7, where the Almighty Yahuwah is talking to Eliphaz, and let me hear that word pronounced in the Hebrew language.
Strong's age 464. Eliphaz. Eliphaz.
Eliphaz. Now remember, Eliphaz and two or three others were commanded by the Almighty Yahuwah, Father, Mother, Yahuwah, to sacrifice seven bullocks and seven rams in order to repent and ask for forgiveness because they had slandered Job. And so I looked up this word Eliphaz. 464 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. This is a proper masculine noun. They say noun, we say noun. And it is defined as my God is fine gold. Now the word, the prefix L is the word for God in the African Canaanite and African Hebrew language. That word is tied to the ram, which is tied to the zodiac sign of Aries, ram, lamb, sacrifice, and strength, because the ram signifies strength. And there are attributes and talents associated with the ram, the Aries, that we have gone over before. But the word faz, let's hear that suffix in the African Hebrew language.
Strong's H, 6337. Paz. Pause.
This is a masculine noun, is defined as refined or pure gold. This is so interesting because we're dealing with elements and we're dealing with the table of elements. The root to that is this word.
Strong's H, 6338. Pazaz. Pazaz.
Is defined as the best. Oh, this is so wonderful. Oh, yes, this is exactly what I was looking for. To be refined. To refine. This is a verb. Synonym, best. So this is the best. And so the Jesenius explanation reads as follows. To separate, to distinguish, specially to separate and purify metals from dross by means of fire, whence silver and tin. Apparently, see, is silver, does tin come out of silver? We have to do research on that. But do research on that and see if silver comes, if tin comes out of silver. I believe so. And then we have brass, from the root to purify, and pure gold. And there's a relationship between gold and brass. But here's what we're talking about, sisters and brothers. We're talking about not the worship of gold, but this Eliphaz word is a scientific word that is teaching us of metals, of the elements. Is teaching us of how the field of light purifies and separates base portions of a metal and separates the higher portions of a particular metal, that you may have a refined element and precious metal that is called gold. Gold is the number 79 on the atomic number, the atomic table of elements. And gold is 79 protons, 79 neutrons, 79 electrons. And the scientific reality is that gold is really 79 hydrogens. The whole table of elements is hydrogen, but hydrogen added to itself and hydrogen multiplied with itself. Hydrogen element number one, atomic element number one. And atomic comes from the Kemite atum. Atum, atom, atomis, is it atomis? Democritus talked about atumos. Atumos. Because he went to Africa, he went to Egypt, he studied under the Kemites in Kemetic Egypt and came away with atumos or atomos or atomos. Now we have in the English atom and atomic, all of it African knowledge and wisdom. So hydrogen, first element, one neutron, one proton, one electron. Gold, number 79 on the atomic table, chemical element of atomic table, or the table of atomic elements. So 79 neutrons, 79 protons, 79 electrons. That means, according to our brother Gabriel Oyibo, that gold is really 79 hydrogens. Now, these table elements on the table of elements, these atomic elements on the table of elements are atum, And a tomb in the New Testament is called Christos, the field of light that transforms those waters into all of the elements on the table of elements. And so the table of elements are your Christ, your Christos table of elements. Now, we're not speaking of the flesh. We're speaking of metaphysical Christos. 2 Corinthians, I forget which chapter. Paul tells us we used to know man by the flesh. But we no longer know man by the flesh, neither do we know Christ. That's Paul in 2 Corinthians. Now, your scholars don't want you to read that scripture, for they fear that you would disbelieve Christ. That is because they either do not know how to teach that scripture, or they refuse to teach the truth of the scripture because it will cause us to go into the metaphysical Christos that is beyond our fleshly form, the flesh in this form. The metaphysical Christos is that field of light that was originally called a tomb by the ancient Kemites in Egypt, and that field of light is that field of light and fire that transforms the waters, separates the impurities from the waters, separates the purified reality and portion of the waters, and transforms those waters into all of the elements on the table of elements, and infuses itself into every element of the table of elements. Therefore, in the scientific world, you say the whole universe is made of atoms. The ancients would say atum. The New Testament says Christos, and nothing made in the universe without being made by Christos or Christ. Saying the same reality, teaching the same reality, that Christos atum imbue and embody the whole of the universe and infused within the whole of the universe. So the whole of the universe and the whole of the atum chemical elements or table of elements or Christos table of elements is Christos. So gold is 79 Christos, because Christos is the hydrogen, is the atom, the hydrogen atom or the hydrogen atom. So the hydrogen Christos is element number one. Gold is element number 79. So this is 79 Christos, because the whole of the table of elements is metaphysically Christos or Christ. So when we understand this science and understand that that power is within us, and that power is described in Hindu as Lord Shiva, that power is described and represented by the Buddha in Buddhism, that power is described by the ancient Kemites again, personified as Heru. That power is described in the Old Testament as Adon. That power is described again by the ancient Kemites in Egypt at another time period as the Aton sun disk. That power is described in the New Testament by the word Christos. And that power is represented in the Hajj in Islam, the ritual of the Hajj, where the people take on the white garment representing white light from the golden sun that transforms the dark energy, dark matter represented by the black stone of the Kaaba and purifies those waters, waters melanin of noon, and separates the purified portion from the dross and the gross portion, And now we have this fabulous universe, and we have the fabulous precious metal that is called gold. Oh, the science, sisters and brothers. Chapter 42, verse 8, we see once again that the friends of Job were commanded to sacrifice 7 bullocks and 7 rams. We talked about the bullocks associated with Taurus. Taurus is the producer and the builder, because we're speaking and talking of the building and producing of the universe and all within the universe, all the elements on the atom, Christos, atomic, atomos, table of elements. But, and also ram with Aries, and Aries is the pioneer, because the ancient African Hebrew Israelites got up and went for freedom and pioneered for freedom and justice and equality during the time of the zodiac of Aries. This is science. And remember, we said that Perry Stone said on one of the Praise the Lord programs, Perry Stone, a respected prophet in the charismatic Christian movement, he hangs out with the rabbis in Israel. These are not your original ancient African Hebrew Israelites, but he hangs out with the modern day Caucasian Jewish rabbis, and they informed Perry Stone that in the floor of the ancient temple, I'm saying of the ancient African Hebrew Israelites, that there was the carving or the depiction of the zodiac in the floor of the temple. And when you check the various structures within the temple, you check the water at the front, you check the fire on top of the altar, you check the 7 candlestick menorah or candelera, those 7 candlesticks symbolize the 7 pole stars and the movement of the sun through the 7 pole stars and through the zodiac in the counterclockwise, taking a period of time of 26,000 years to move through the 7 pole stars. And there are 7 true north pole stars, because the earth, as it follows the sun, the earth wobbles on this axis, like when you take those spinning tops and they begin to wobble. So every 3,000 plus years, the wobble wobbles us to a new North Pole star. And so when we look at the ram and the Aries, and we look at the bullocks and the Taurus, we must know and understand that the African Hebrew Israelite, the ancient ones, tied themselves to the science of the zodiac, because we're dealing with the science of the solar, the science of the sun, the science of the golden sun shining the field of light and transforming the waters of noon into the mass matter material universe that we have today. But now that 7 bullocks, 7 rams, what is this 7? This word 7 has to do with the Sabbath. You will recall there's a 7-day Sabbath, but there is also a 7-year Sabbath. That word 7 and Sabbath having to do with cessation and resting and ceasing and stopping and discontinuing. What are we ceasing from? What are we discontinuing? Well, if you study the 7-year Sabbaths, and in the 7-year Sabbath, all debt was wiped away. Forgiveness of all debt. No debt peonage. No debt slavery. You come on hard times, you may have to borrow some money. You may have to lease yourself out for labor to pay off a debt. But after the period of time of 7 years, forgiveness of all debt. Suppose we were to experience that in our society. You have credit card debt. You have mortgage debt. You have college tuition debt. You have health care debt. Suppose every 7 years our plate was wiped clean and we were able to begin anew. The creditors would yet make money, but they wouldn't be able to crush and destroy the people. And the people would know, I'll maintain for 7 years, then I'll know that my plate will be wiped clean and I will be able to start fresh, start anew, and I will not remain in debt peonage and not experience debt slavery. Now, when you get to 7 year Sabbaths, you get to the year 49, and the year 50 is the year Jubilee. On the 50-year Jubilee, there is the returning of all land back to the original families, the original owners. So, hard times, you lose your land. Family, hold on. In 50 years' time, the land will revert back to you. Suppose we lived by that rule. This is divine law. This is the law of the Almighty. Let's take this next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.